your Bible this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. If you go to our church's website, it will have a thing on there that says our purpose is to love God and to love others. And as the year started, I started preaching things that were familiar and maybe you'd even heard before and knew, but just to reinforce them. I think sometimes we forget to reinforce the things that we already know. It's almost like serving a meal. Do any of you ever have, I don't mean leftovers, but do you ever have repeat meals in your home? Like Taco Tuesday, or Fajita Friday, or Soup Sunday. See, I'm just making stuff up here like this. Yeah. To me, if it's good once, it'll probably be good again. So this passage of Scripture, we need to, is good once, and it's good for the rest of us. We'll read it in a minute. I do have a question, though. Did you have any rules in your home growing up? Anybody have any rules? Can you remember any of the rules, Creighton? You had to try the food. Yeah, I'm not good at that one. Yeah. You don't speak until you're spoken to. Okay. No arms on the table. I thought tables only had legs. Ha ha! No, I got what you said. I'm just in the mood. Turn the lights off. When you say yuck, you get twice. Okay. Close. Yeah. I wonder if Mary ever asked Jesus, were you born in a barn? How good at you were following the rules growing up? Forget sometimes? Yeah. I'm seeing some parents elbowing children. And some of them are even striking them up here about the rules. And some of them are sitting far enough that they can't be reached. But rules in life are important. What were the big rules in your home? Not just the no elbows on the table and don't say yuck and whatever. What were the big rules? If you're going to be late, you better call. And they probably gave you a dime for a payphone. See, some of you guys don't get that at all. Or maybe it was a nickel back then, Faye. I'm just teasing. Judy, you better be where you say you're going to be. Don't make the dog mad. Bill, tell the truth. Yeah, I think that was Mrs. B's thing. Seen an ad for her. Yeah. Don't be late for school. Yeah. Big ones. Big ones. I remember a big one. Obviously, some of you were not raised by your grandparents. The big one was, don't talk back. Now, I know it's a surprise that they would have to tell me that. But don't talk back. Or another way of saying that is what? Shut up is one way. No, said, don't you sass me. Exactly. Were the big commandments and big rules in your family more letter of the law or spirit of the law? Do you understand what I'm saying? Letter? You know? Or was it more spirit of the law? As in, you know how to behave. I'm not going to tell you every single thing about behaving. Don't make me beat you again. Okay. Matthew chapter 26, 22. Jesus is coming down to the end of his earthly ministry. And he has been arguing with Pharisees, and then the Sadducees are taking a run at him. And it's almost like if you've ever watched tag team wrestling, or as we called it growing up, wrestling. You know, where you got two guys on one corner and two guys on the other corner, and one fellow go in there and fight a while, then he'll come and tag out, and the other guy will jump over the ropes and go over this kind of thing. Tag. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees have been tag teaming Jesus. Every time he pins one group, they'll tap out and the other group will come in. So here you have in verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, questioned him a question, or asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" How many commandments were in the law? Like 600. I've told you there were 365 thou shalt nots. So there was some way you could blow it every day, you know? And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What's he talking about, law and prophets? Any Bible students in here? How was the Old Testament divided? Law, prophets, and Psalms. Okay? That's how the Jews understood the division of the Old Testament. So, Jesus has spent his day battling these religious leaders. He's gotten the best of every group. It's almost like they brought a knife to a gunfight with Jesus. You're not going to get anywhere with him. He assured them throughout this whole chapter that they have and are rejecting him as the Messiah. He's trying to prove to them that he is the anointed one of God, the Christ, who was sent to redeem them, and they keep trying to discount his ministry. They have tried to question his birth. They're just really going at him hard because they do not want to believe in him because he is, as they used to say, upsetting their apple cart. So he gets this challenge from a lawyer, testing him. "Teacher," your pastor, your Bible may say rabbi, "which is the great commandment in the law?" The word "test" here is perizo, and it means to test or scrutinize. And one of my favorite, and I always say this and I say it wrong, but I think it was Underdog. I think Underdog, the cartoon, who remembers Underdog? Anybody? Okay. No need to fear, Underdog is here. What was his alter ego? He was a shoeshine dog. And he would be given a coin, and he would test it, see if it was real. He would scrutinize it to see if it was what it says it was. This word for test here, that the lawyer gave him this to test him, was to pierce into or search into, to find the good or bad, a power or weakness of a person or a thing. Have you ever wondered if something was good and so you cut into it? Talking about food again. I never will forget a girl I was dating in high school. I didn't know this at the time, but on Saturdays, she would take everything in the refrigerator and make it into some kind of a meal. Which is okay if you have vegetables and meat and you make soup. But when you stick all that stuff in a meatloaf and cut into it and put it on my plate, I don't think meatloafs were supposed to have corn and beans and cottage cheese in it. Huh? I ate around the corn and beans and cottage cheese. Jace just ate the meat and ketchup and cracker stuff on it. But sometimes you don't know if something's good or not until you cut into it. Scrutinize it. This lawyer is trying to test the validity of Jesus by piercing into him and getting into his mind and saying, which is a great commandment of the law? And here's the hilarious thing about it. The Pharisees didn't even agree on which the great commandment was. This was just a way to test him, show a weakness, or try to trip him up. Jesus answers by saying this. Basically, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. These verses come from Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. Exodus 21 through 17 gives us a listing of the big 10, we like to call them. The 10 commandments. You remember on the tablets, you do realize that Moses was the first person to ever download information from a cloud on a tablet. That's not bad, is it, for techie? Okay. But then when their law was restated, which is Deuteronomy, restatement of the law, he sums it up by saying, love God, love your neighbors. That's the Ten Commandments. Let me explain to you. The first four commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make to yourself any carved image or graven idol. You shall not bow down to them and serve them. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The rest of that says, for God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The rest of the commandments go like this. Honor your father and mother. You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. I'm sorry. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet, a whole list of stuff. Now, Jesus told us later on, and Paul reemphasized it, James especially said, if you break one of them, you've broken them all. And I know you don't understand that, but it goes back to the whole tablet thing. If you break one, you've broken them all. It's like, how many of you feel safe if you've only got one window broken in your home? Not so much. Basically, they fall into categories. I'm going to call it this way. Under love God, got no other gods, no idols, no vanity about God and his holy day. Under love your neighbor, parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie about others, and don't covet. What you have is basically a mobile. I tried to find a mobile that didn't have a copyright on it. And one that just had two arms on it. But you don't really have a mobile with two arms. You got a mobile with four. And so what you have here is you've got God, who I guess is that funny looking bunny in the heart. You've got God, and then coming down from that, imagine two arms. And one of those arms is love God. The other is love others. And underneath those two arms are the commandments. No other gods before me, no graven images, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and do not remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Under the other arm of loving others, you've got honor your father and mother, do no murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't blaspheme, bear false witness, don't covet. Now, maybe I missed one. But everything comes from God. And on two arms, you've got love God, love your neighbor, and all the commandments are those little bee-looking things hanging down there. Now, loving God. The letter of the law says, you have no other gods before me. The letter of the law says no graven images, don't make an idol. The letter of the law says no vanity about God, and that is that you don't use his name flippantly. And I'm just going to confess to you, when you say OMG, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. You may not mean to, but you are. One of the first things I learned to say growing up was Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. I know that because it's written in a baby book. Remember those? I think it's got a little envelope with hair in it. Penny made me throw away all my baby teeth. I had those in a little jar in that baby book. You know, I'm not kidding. She said, "What is this?" I said, "Those are my baby teeth." She said, "Those are gone." Anybody here still have your baby teeth? First loss, you know? I see some hands going up. Yeah. You've got theirs? Yeah, their wife will be so proud to have it when they're almost 60. Now, and also remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In other words, you give God his day. These are the legal elements of the law. But if you love God, nobody has to tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. Because you love him, you won't do these things. Loving your neighbor. Basically what you have, and there's debate over whether honor your father and mother should come under the other one or should come here. But for my purposes today, I'm going to say that we have, what's it mean if you're going up and down? Vertical relationship. Yeah, who said touchdown? Did anybody say touchdown? Vertical responsibilities and relationship. And then what's the one that goes this way? Horizontal responsibilities and opportunities. So if your horizontal is right, you're not going to murder somebody because you love him. You're not going to dishonor your parents because you love them. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to steal. You're not going to lie about others. And you're not going to covet, not just because that's the letter of the law, but because it's a deeper thing that comes out of the heart. We had a sign in a church kitchen one time, and I've got cough drops and water. I just can't get to them. Sorry. I think that water's been up here 3 weeks. I think I've set it out last week. No, it hasn't. I got it fresh this morning. We had a sign in the kitchen that says, duty makes you do things. Love makes you do them beautifully. The letter of the law says this, this, and this. The spirit of the law says you do it not because you have to, but because you want to. Because it's an emotional, it's a conviction, it's a choice you make, not just because you don't want to get dusted off. Anybody ever been dusted off? I've been dusted off. Basically, you have the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with everybody else. First and foremost is our relationship to God. He didn't say love your neighbor and then love God. God has to be our priority. He has to be preeminent. And he is the number one. Second is our relationships to one another. How we get by and how we get along. Relationship is key to understanding the commands of God. Basically, his commandments are not, here, I'm going to do this to prohibit you from ever having any fun. Have you ever felt like that? You ever looked at what God said, and he's just here to spoil my good time. Have you ever thought your parents, that was their job? Was to spoil your good time? You may be right, Christy. I know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I used to ask teenagers sometimes, I would say, how many of you believe your parents lie awake at night dreaming up ways to make your life miserable? That's not what we do. If we lie awake at night, we do so thinking of ways to protect them and to provide for them. Same is true with God's commandments. When God says, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do this, he's not saying, I don't want you to have any fun. He's saying, don't do this because it is harmful to you. And do this because it is helpful to you. Think about it. If you love God, you won't honor any other so-called God more than him. You just won't do it. Why? Because he said not to. No, because you adore him. Because you love him. If you love God, you won't make idols to these so-called gods, little graven images. We don't know a lot about that in our culture, but in some cultures, they still make idols. If you love God, you won't use his name flippantly. I'm not talking about cussing, or as they say in proper, cursing. I'm just talking about using his name to mean nothing. To mean nothing. It's a byword, a slang word. I tell somebody I used to work with, they would always say, just throw the Lord's name out. And I said, don't blaspheme. Look at me. I said, yeah, don't blaspheme. Told a nurse one time, she came around and she had a whole string of expletives ending with the title Jesus Christ. And I said, if that was a prayer, I've never heard it like that. Blah, 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 Jesus' name. No, that's not how you pray. Don't use his name flippantly. And also, if you love God, you'll take time to worship him. Every time we meet together on a Sunday, and this is not the Sabbath day, that was Saturday. And by the way, of all the Ten Commandments, the only one that was not re-emphasized and reiterated in Jesus' ministry was the Sabbath day. But the early church began meeting on the first day of the week to celebrate what? Imagine having a party to celebrate something and nobody came. If they loved you, they would come. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ not because he said to, but because we love him. If you love God, you'll honor the parents he gave you, even when they're not always honorable. I understand respect has to be deserved and earned, but there is a positional respect that you still put in there. You can do all these things out of duty and responsibility, but still have no relationship with God. You know that? You can do all these things, you can check all these boxes without a relationship with God. God's design and God's goal is the relationship, not just to make you keep the rules. Think about it. If you love your neighbor, you won't kill them. I mean, some of you are thinking, duh. You won't commit adultery. You won't steal their stuff. You won't lie about them. You won't covet their stuff. Why? Just because it's against God's law or because you truly care for them? You cannot do all those things out of fear for getting caught or trying to be a good citizen, but not love anybody. I cannot take my neighbor's stuff and still not love him. But if you love your neighbor, you will act properly toward them. Thoughts. Just as the Pharisees and Sadducees were testing Jesus, we are tested every day. It's not always verbally. It's not always in a public arena. But we are all tested every day in one way or another. People want to know, do we really love God? Or are we just going through the motions? Checking boxes. People want to know if we really love others. They don't care how much you say if you don't follow it up with actions. One of the little letters in the New Testament says, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. They may not question us as they did Jesus. They might come and say, tell us which is your favorite commandment. They may not come and verbally assault us, but they're testing us just the same. They're watching us to see if we're real or fake. And I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of fakeness in the world today. And people aren't looking for fakes. They're looking for the real thing. It's so funny. Bill and I. Larissa, can you get me back up? I think I hit a wrong button. No, we're good. Bill and I were having a conversation about real and fakes one time. And I'm trying to find another one just because that's how I roll. But I bought a fake Rolex one time. You know what you call a fake Rolex? A Folex. F-A-U-X, Folex. I mean, it looked just like it, but the hand didn't do the same thing. And to the trained eye, it wouldn't. But I had a fake Rolex. Well, Bill has a real one. And so I'm sure your mama didn't give $35 for yours like I gave for mine, which doesn't work anymore. Another reason not to buy Folexes. But anyway. But people in the watch community don't look for fakes. They look for the real thing. Sometimes you can tell the real thing just by looking at it, but sometimes you've got to take the back off and look inside. I wasn't sure what was in Lona Faye's meatloaf until I cut into it, and it was more loaf than meat. Sometimes people scrutinize us. Here's another thing that happens. They see it in our lives by the way that we live. When the struggles of life pierce or shake us, what comes out? Yeah, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. When you shake the glass, what's inside comes out. Do you ever get angry at God when you get shaken? Or you get pierced? Or you have someone testing you and you get mad at God? The reason that's happening is to see if you're real. To see if you're genuine. Other people may annoy us and get on our nerves. What do they see? Just asking. Sometimes our true character is not revealed until we're shaken. Our responsibility in all this is to love God and love others. If we do those things, you don't have to memorize all the particulars, because love works and love does. And I'll tell you about the doing of love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God just didn't talk a good game about love. He demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that if we confess Him with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we can be saved and know what love is really all about. Let's stand together for an invitation. Heavenly Father, help us to understand what love really means and really does. And that the world does know that we are Christians by our love. And help us to realize that every time we sin, we're really saying that we don't love You. And that every time we're hurtful to others, we're demonstrating that we don't love them. And it all comes back to You as the head of the mobile. That when we disobey and when we don't behave in a way that demonstrates love to You or others, it's offensive to You. Help us to be the kind of people You want us to be so that the world will know who You are. And Lord, if there are those here who don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today that they would trust Him. That they would see that sacrifice of love, repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in You for forgiveness. and be saved today. Bless this time of decision, this hymn of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.